Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right. I do believe we're on the air.
I believe you're right.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. As you might know, this show is for all you songwriters and performers out there who are just trying to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. Now, look, we don't have any answers. We're out slinging songs just like you guys are. But we have been able to have this great venue to bring people in that do know things and pick their brains and give them the opportunity to answer your questions as well.
That is so true. And you can join the conversation by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow or Twitter, The Music Row Show, and you can fire us questions or comments right there.
And we're Instagram-ing, right?
That's true, but that's not more for pictures and stuff. But
right.
Questions, shoot them over on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll grab them.
Well, should we take a picture?
Yeah.
How does this work? So my phone now Instagrams?
No, Scott.
Is it?
Doesn't. No.
Can I? Is it s'mores?
No, since you're so technologically disabled, we've just kept that far away from your phone. So just to not mess.
Okay, that's
up.
Probably best. Yeah, that's probably best. Hey, we got a big, big show for you tonight. Musicians Hall of Fame director Joe Chambers is here. New inductee Jimmy Capps, the legendary Jimmy Capps, is sitting right next to us here. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and then we're going to have hit songwriter and friend of the show, Jeff Cohen, going to be visiting with us in the next hour.
Right.
Now, we got something fun coming up next week, don't we?
Is that next week already?
It is next week.
Good
on the
gravy.
27th, we're going to be playing, we're doing our monthly Music Row Show Monday out at the Whippoorwill in Gallatin.
Right.
And this month, we're being joined by
Chris Gantry.
Yeah, good old Nashville outlaw Chris Gantry.
Yeah. I'm so excited about it. I just love this guy, and he's a great writer, he's a poet, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But the Whippoorwill, if you guys haven't been there yet, great food. It's a great room. The sound is incredible. They have a wonderful group of people, you know, taking care of you, Lindsay and everybody else over there. So we love it there. It's just a fun way to spend a Monday night. It's early from 7 to 9, and they got a website, too,
yes,
on the
thewhippoorwillgallatin.com.
Thewhippoorwillgallatin.com.
The biggest challenge is going to be spelling Whippoorwill, but once you got that part, you're there.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right, Scott, why don't you introduce our guests here this hour?
Okay. This is so cool. Memphis Horns.
Yeah.
The Wrecking Crew. The Swampers. Steve Cropper. Duck Dunn. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Barbara Mandrell. Buddy Guy. Many, many more. And, of course, the great Jimmy Capps. What do they all have in common? Never mind, I'll just tell you.
Okay.
They are all past and soon to be inducted members. I almost said indicted members. inducted members of the Musicians Hall of Fame. And tonight we have the director of the Hall of Fame, as I said, Joe Chambers, and Jimmy Capps. Now, you have heard Jimmy your whole life.
Yeah.
It's crazy because he's literally been a part of some of the biggest recordings in country music. But then you start thinking about it, it's like, wow, you've been in the soundtrack of generations' lives. Stand By Your Man, He Stopped Loving Her Today, The Gambler, Amarillo by Morning, How's the World Treating You? I could spend the entire hour just naming songs, but I won't.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah, I'd like to see you do that.
I don't have to say anything.
Now that you've thrown that out there.
I will not. he's toured with legends. He's been a member of the Grand Ole Opry Band for over 40 years. And in just over a week, the Musicians Hall of Fame induction ceremony is going to take place. And it's going to be one of the biggest shows of the year. It's going to be exploding at the Municipal Auditorium this year. Tickets are still on sale. So we're going to talk about it. Musicians Hall of Fame, Joe Chambers, new inductee, Jimmy Capps. Welcome so much. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
To the
All
Music
right.
Row Show. Yeah.
Very nice. Well, welcome both of you guys. Joe, why don't you refresh our memory a little bit? For those who don't know, Joe was on the show a few years back, so I recommend you go back and listen to the podcast on that. But for those who don't know, tell us about what prompted you to start the Hall of Fame and how you managed to pull together such an amazing collection.
Wasn't that 50 years, Jimmy?
Probably.
At the Opry?
What did I say?
Yeah.
40? I think he
said 40. Well, I was using new math.
40 yeah. was enough.
I was using Davidson County math.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oops.
Ooh.
Here come the teacher complaints. Sorry, just kidding.
How did the museum get started?
Yeah, how did it get started, and how did you pull together such an amazing collection of, you mean, you got some pretty impressive stuff over there.
Well, I guess it got started. I used to have guitar shops around town.
Right.
And before that, I was a songwriter, and I worked for a guy named Billy Sherrill at CBS Records, and that's when I first saw you, Jimmy, was at Columbia, and that's when I found out about this whole secret world of session musicians, and it wasn't just here in Nashville, it was everywhere, we found out, and Chet used to come in the guitar shop, and
Chet Atkins,
and James Burton, Don Everly, you know, and we were just talking one day, and I thought, you know, I think the public, if they were given the opportunity to know this, they'd be interested in it, you know, in some of the names that maybe weren't household names.
Right.
And I use this example a lot, but if I found out, because I'm an old rock and roll, I had a rock and roll band and all that, country didn't come into my life till I got to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And if I found out it wasn't Jimi Hendrix on the record, my first question would be,
well, who was?
Who was it? And so when I found out they weren't the Beach Boys necessarily on all the records, and that was a really common, the Monkees, you know, got slammed for it, but that was a really common practice in a lot of the bands in the 60s, and it wasn't until like the 70s really that most of the bands became self-contained and actually played on all their records, like, you know, the Allman Brothers on the Allman Brothers and so forth. But so anyway, we checked it out, and actually, one more thing. Hendrix used to live in town. Speaking of Hendrix,
really,
and he lived over on Jefferson Street, in a beauty salon called Joyce's House of Glamour. He lived on the second floor. He and Billy Cox. And by the way, Billy's going to be on the show, so you guys are the first to know that Billy's going to be one of the guests on the show, also.
Right.
And I lost myself. I was on Jefferson Street, and I've got lost now.
That's okay.
Micah left.
Yeah. How the museum got started. Yeah, you guys started thinking about...
So he had a house over on Jefferson Street. That Joyce's House of Glamour got torn down unbelievably. And I really couldn't believe that, you know, as many people that traveled to Washington State and just to see his gravestone, how many people would have come here had they known and been able to walk through the house and
right.
that he lived in? And Hendrix, you know, credits Nashville. That's where I learned to play guitar. What you've been brought up to think about Nashville. It's kind of oil and water, you know, Hendrix and Nashville. You know, you think
sure.
of just one particular genre of music, but that's just not the way it is. And so we thought, well, we had to do something to honor the Hendrixes and all the great musicians in Nashville, and we found out, well, you know, why not drummers and why not keyboard players and trumpets and everything, what about Detroit and L.A.? And so we researched it and found out there was not a Musicians Hall of Fame anywhere. There were a few state, like Mississippi Musician or Music Hall of Fame or something like that, but there was not one Musicians Hall of Fame
for everybody.
Yeah, just like there's one Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's one Country Music Hall of Fame.
Right.
And so we thought, well, maybe we should do that. And so that was how it started.
Perfect.
Wow. Well, and it's been just since the last time you came on, the museum's been on quite a roller coaster journey. At the time, it was you had just found out that you were going to be losing that location because of the convention center. It looks to me, though, you ended up in a pretty cool situation, right? With the municipal having the venue there as well.
Well, yeah. You know, one thing that we did want, from the beginning, wanted to see happen was that the museum have an iconic building in shape and in this case history already. It already has
right.
a history of all these different genres of music, from James Brown to Led Zeppelin to Conway Twitty, everybody's played under that roof from 62 and up till now. I mean, it's still happening. And last night they had the Stellar Gospel Awards there, you know. Mm-hmm. So and it's a big enough place that the first level that we're located on was Nashville's first convention center. And so there was plenty of space to build a museum and not be not have any restrictions pretty much about what we could do there. And so the old place, as much as we loved it, one of the things that we have in the new museum that's going to be opening up hopefully later on this year, Brian O'Hearn lives here. You guys know Brian, married to Amy Lou Harris, and mm-hmm. produced all her records. And Brian built took a tractor trailer truck and a trailer and built a studio back in the 70s. They could just pull up to anybody's house, or as a matter of fact, that was the control room for the George Jones and Friends album that was done at Bradley's Barn. They pulled the truck up to there.
Okay.
And that was the control room, and CMT did a special on it, filmed in it. And that's now parked in the museum. And so we've got a historic studio, you know.
Right there inside,
you know, The Rose by Bette Midler was recorded there. Black Sabbath recorded in it. Barbara Streisand, Willie Nelson. They tell me did, the Stardust album.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's got a huge history. So you've got all this under in one place. There's definitely that silver lining that came along with the auditorium.
Wow. Well, when you were putting together, because I came to the grand opening, and it's beautiful. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm just wondering, what to you personally, what was your most special acquisition, instrument or something? Maybe it was even that studio. What that you got?
Still waiting on Jimmy to give it to me.
Uh-huh. It's coming. Okay.
Yeah, so, but other than that, Jimmy, I don't. You know, it's hard to say. It's kind of like asking Jimmy what's the favorite song you ever played on. You probably can't really say that, can you?
You can't.
The next one.
Yeah. But that's a good answer.
That's probably a good answer. Yeah. But, man, the museum is, boy, it's special. Joe took me on a tour, me and Michelle, the other day, and it's just special. And, man, you could spend literally hours in there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah, right now it's about a little less than half what it will be as far as when we finish building out the space. But, you know, we're trying to cover as many genres and as many great musicians as we can. But the first thing we did, the first part of the museum now, is we really wanted to hit those cities like Nashville,
Detroit,
Memphis,
right.
Like you were talking about earlier.
Motown. Yeah.
Yeah. And get these cities. And a lot of people don't know Atlanta was a major recording center. And so starting back in the 60s, Joe South and, you know, came out of there with the Bill Lowry Music Group. And then that morphed into a huge thing into the 90s. So many huge rock bands were going into Atlanta to record. And Memphis, you know, we've got so much music came out of Memphis. It's Stax, mm-hmm. studio with Booker T and the MGs is a house band. So for people that don't know, when you hear Sitting on Dock of the Bay or Hold On, I'm Coming or Knock on Wood, that's Steve Cropper on guitar and Duck Dunn and on bass and Booker T on keyboards. And that's that common thread that runs with Detroit and Nashville. So many of these people were local kids and musicians. The talent was there. And somebody like a Berry Gordy bought a house, put a studio in a dirt floored garage, and really created these genres of music that we still enjoy. And we wanted to, so that the first part of the museum was to honor these early cities that actually prior to them opening up, that there wasn't that Stax sound or that Nashville sound. It was
Muscle Shoals,
didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we got that covered, and we're going to start branching out. And like I said, later in the 70s, especially, the band started being self-contained, and so we'll start hitting more bands. But we wanted to really make the point that this was about musicians well-known, like a Hendrix, or maybe not as well-known behind the scene, like Pete Drake on Steel, that played on so many records from just like you on Stand By Your Man and Jimmy. And
Pete was on just gobs of records.
Yeah.
And then went to England and played on George Harrison's All Things Must Pass.
So. Oh, wow. Well, let's take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about maybe the future of the Hall of Fame, too, because you got some other things you're doing I want to talk to you about. And then we got so much to talk about with Jimmy Capps. You're listening to the Music Row Show. We'll be right back.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That, of course, is Kenny Rogers doing The Gambler, and that guitar you're hearing there at the beginning, that's one of our guests this hour. Brand new Hall of Fame inductee, guitar player Jimmy Capps is here with us, along with Joe Chambers, the founder and director of the Musicians Hall of Fame. And that's a pretty iconic.
That's iconic.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat hearing me before you hear Kenny.
Yeah, that's right. As it should be, right?
As it should be, always. Yeah. No.
We were talking before the break, Joe, that the Hall of Fame doesn't just honor and remember the icons, but you're also working really hard to be a resource for the current musicians and future musicians. Talk, if you will, just about the Pickers page.
Well, we have a Pickers page on our website.
And the website is?
MusiciansHallOfFame.com.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I haven't checked it lately.
.com with a question mark?
Yeah. It was going to be FamousMusicDudes.com, but nobody really. Yeah.
It's kind of like the guy that reads everything that's on the script.
Yeah.
With a question mark. Yeah, so we want to, you know, I mean, the future, you know, we don't know what genres of music are going to be happening in the future, but one thing we know will be happening is music of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what you'll call it, but there'll always be musicians, and you know, genres of music kind of keep morphing into, you know, from rock to southern rock,
sure,
to country rock, to whatever, and so there'll always be young musicians coming up and carrying the torch, So we just want to give them a chance to be heard and to also learn about their predecessors and learn about the people that made the roads that they will travel on.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Excellent. So Jimmy, you're going to be inducted here coming up, a brand new Hall of Fame member. A lot of times Hall of Fame members of any Hall of Fame tend to be, you know, folks who are retired or no longer with us, that kind of thing. But you're still out there. You're still working. You're still applying your craft. How does this honor, an honor like that, affect how you look at your job that you still continue to do?
It just makes me think I got to continue doing pretty good, you know, and I try to live up to that honor, you know. And I would like to back up a little bit on The Gambler there.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me. It was Larry Butler was the producer, and he always used two acoustic guitars, and
okay,
I have to give credit for it.
But I think yours was louder in the mix, so.
So. That was you that said that. In case Billy Sherrill, the engineer, is listening.
Purposes of this discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other guitar player was Ray Edington, and he's already in the Musicians Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
He went in the first year. He's a great, I mean, we all copy him right today. You know, he's such a great rhythm player.
Great.
Sad that he doesn't work anymore.
When you look at a career, though, that's spanned all these decades and again, Hall of Fame inductee this year, I just try to imagine you with that first guitar, you know, with the strings this high off the neck and yeah. You know, what were your goals early on as a kid, because you really took to the guitar pretty quickly, it sounds like.
Well, I had an uncle that played fiddle. And he inspired me to play guitar. But there was also another guy in my hometown, a little town, but he was a hero and of everybody there, guitar hero, and his name was Hayden Ivey. And he was kind of my Clayton Delaney, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he really got me hooked on guitar. And I thought it was the prettiest sound I'd ever heard, you know, was the way he played. And so I looked up to him and wanted to play like that. But you're right, that first guitar, it was tough to play for a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And because the strings were very high. Nobody in that town knew how to work on them, you know.
Right. Now, was your hero playing, was he flat picking? Was he playing finger style?
He played with a flat pick, but he kind of played every kind of music, you know. Mm-hmm. Back then, he worked with a dance band, but he also worked just he and another guy. And they both played guitars, and he played electric, and the other guy played acoustic. And they actually let me go to work with them on a local radio show there.
Right.
A couple of times a day, early morning and late afternoon.
And you got to bag groceries to play on the radio?
Boy, you've read up, haven't you?
Well, I'm just trying to see if they're hiring, because I could stand a morning job bagging groceries.
Yeah, I actually went to work for the other guy. His name was Jim Thornton. He had a grocery store mm-hmm. in that town, and I went to work for him at, I guess I was 13 then, delivering groceries on a bike.
Right.
Can you imagine me delivering groceries now on a bike?
You know what? No.
But anyhow, a nice great big Harley basket. And doing that, you know, I made $12 a week
mm-hmm.
delivering groceries. And he let me do that early morning show. I did one song on each show.
And you sang too, right?
I did sing, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
$12 a week. I think that's more than we pay our producer.
Yeah, sorry, that's Logan. Awesome. Wow. I'd like to apply for that. Now, over the years, you've kind of become known as the master of smoothness. How did you develop your style, and how did you get that name?
Was that smoothness talking yourself into getting the work, or,
yeah.
or actually doing
the work? I don't know. You tell us.
Well, yeah, I hope it was doing the work, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I play like I play, you know, and
okay.
Hopefully someone likes it, you know.
All right.
Well, and I'm going to go back to the last question, because I'm just curious, when you started rolling and you started playing in some bands and then you ended up hooking up with the Leuven Brothers, as a young man, as 18, 19 years old, what was your ultimate goal as a guitar player? I mean, could you ever have imagined to have this career that you've had all these years?
No, and I used to literally, I'd be at home, you know, on listening to the local radio, and they would play a Leuven Brothers record.
Mm-hmm.
And Chet was the guitar player on
right.
those early Capitol records and MGM records. And I thought, man, that is the prettiest sound I've ever heard. And actually, this Hayden Ivey turned me on to Chet. He said, you got to get up early in the morning, listen to this guitar player on WSM. And at that time, they used to do 15-minute radio shows in the morning. And one of them was the Carter Sisters and Mother Maybelle. And
okay.
Chet was a guitar player.
Okay.
So I got up and listened to him. So then I started hearing him on the Leuven Brothers. And, boy, I wanted to sound like that if I could, you know. So it was my dream to work with the Leuvens. And it was a dream that came true. So.
Yeah.
And we didn't make a lot of money, but, boy, we sure were happy. Or at least I was happy.
Well, there
yeah,
you
yeah.
go.
That's
what kind of education was that, being on the road with these guys?
Oh, man, a double-barrel college education.
Yeah.
Because it was station wagon and no trailer.
Right.
And just the three of us, and we always worked with house bands.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The whole time I was with them, we never carried anyone, but they never carried another musician, just me.
Was it because the stand-up bass was such a pain to travel with?
No, it was because the money wasn't there.
Oh. uh-huh.
They literally couldn't afford another musician.
I'll be darned.
Man.
And here they are, you know,
oh, man, they're
famous. But
boy, I remember Ira. Charlie and I did most of the driving all the time, and Ira was in the back seat asleep, and he woke up, and he And he said, Charlie, I've been thinking. And he said, I think we're going to have to die to become famous. And in a way, that's almost true.
Yeah.
They had, we lost them. I mean, Charlie lived a long,
long
life.
Long.
But Ira died, or got killed when he was in his early 40s.
Mm-hmm. Man.
But that's almost a true statement. You know, they now, everyone talks about them now.
Sure.
And everyone wants to cut their songs. And so, but boy, that was a dream come true for me.
Wow.
To work with the Lubins.
Good for you.
Well, you've been at this such a long time, and musical styles have, you know, they continue to evolve, and the Opry hosts all kinds of musical acts. How do you go about staying on top of, you know, evolving styles, and do you have to actively study that, or how do you go about doing that?
Well, practice, really, or, you know, doing a whole lot of listening, you know, because you do have to try to stay up on the different styles and progress, you know, with the new music, you know. And that's all I can say is you've just got to work at it, you know, every day.
Well, walk us through that, because the Opry plays Tuesday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, and then sometimes on Thursday when they're doing their
Opry
Classics.
Classics, yeah.
So what's the time commitment there, and when do you know who's on and
what you're going to be playing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of curious, weekly basis, what's your schedule like as far as the Opry commitment?
Well, they MP3 us. I need some help here because my computer expert over here.
Excellent.
but they send us MP3s of mm-hmm. the songs that the new artists are doing and some of the old artists are doing. They'll send us MP3s of them, and we download them, and we get to practice at home. But then we go in and rehearse them with the band.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably at least a day ahead of time, you know,
mm-hmm. okay.
that we get the music.
How do they figure out how your band gets supplemented? Because I've been to the Opry many times, and sometimes an artist will come in, and they'll bring one or two of their guitar players, and then the rest of the Opry band backs those guys up,
or the drummer.
You know, there's always a lot of times there's one or two key people that come in and take over that spot, and then the rest is the Opry house band. How do they figure that out?
I think that each artist has a security blanket, which is a musician for mm-hmm. them. You know, and it really makes them comfortable. I'm just assuming this, you know. But when they bring one or two guys in or ladies, you know, and I think that's a security blanket for them, and it really gives them confidence. And then the rest of the band comes from us then.
Right.
And used to, Steve Gibson, I think, who was a musical director. I don't think he holds that title anymore, but he would call the shots on who was added to the band. He would listen to the song or the record, you know, and decide on who was going to work extra with the musicians the artist was bringing.
Yeah, because I'm just so impressed that you guys are so versatile. I mean, you can play some old school hardcore country, and then some newer person comes in who's kind of doing stuff that's more borderline rock, and it's just, you're just right there.
Those guys, I mean, we got two great drummers, Eddie Bears and Mark Beckett.
Yeah.
They're both great drummers and really versatile. You
Mark
know?
Will be on the show, actually.
That's right. Mark will be playing the
induction ceremony.
The induction ceremony.
Great.
And so will Steve Gibson,
just Steve,
heard.
That's right. Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
But anyhow, where were we at? What was the question again?
Just the versatility.
And with guys like that, I mean, you know, you just sit back and ride the train, kind of, you mm-hmm. know, with great drummers and Larry Paxton on bass, you know.
Yeah.
And those guys can play any kind of music, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're blessed.
That's amazing.
To have great musicians in Nashville like that.
By the way, we are talking to Jimmy Capps, legendary guitarist, been on a million sessions and then playing with the Opry. Joe, tell us real quick, we got another minute or two before we need to go to break. What What are we going to expect for this this induction ceremony on the 28th? Are tickets still available? How do people get in? But what are they getting tickets for?
Well, yeah, there are tickets still available.
Okay.
What you're in for is just I can tell you what if people have said from the previous shows, and okay. we try to keep the shows or the induction ceremonies the same kind of format, and that is it. Since it is the Musicians Hall of Fame, we try to keep a variety of music and musicians throughout the night. So we've heard it many times every year. People have come and said, I just saw my whole life go in front of me because the music that was part of their life, from
sure.
whether it be country or R&B or rock. And then, like in 1 year, you know, we inducted Toto, which is
right.
great studio musicians from
yeah.
from L.A. that became a band, just like Booker T became a band. And we had Rascal Flatts was... the what sang with them, so it was
he had Keith Richards playing with the Crickets.
Keith Richards came in and I say for his to show you the importance and the camaraderie. Keith brought his own jet in, brought his own security, brought, you know, it was completely on his nickel to come in and do this because that's how much it meant to him and it means to these people that are coming in and the special guests that we come in. We need to acknowledge them too that are going to be here. They're really giving up their time but it's something they want to do.
Right.
It's going to be a great evening. No matter what kind of music you like, you're going to see people under one roof that you'll probably never ever see again under one roof. You know?
Mm. Yeah.
And, there's going to be a special performance with Jimmy and the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
sweet.
And it's, you know, Jimmy played on so many, maybe most of their
played on Elvira.
And, yeah.
And so that's going to be special, just that one segment right there. And I want to say one thing. You hit the nail on the head, Jimmy, on the talking about bringing a security blanket in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Dylan came here to record, mm-hmm. he brought in like Al Cooper, who played on the organ on like a Rolling Stone, to come in and be with Pig and Charlie McCoy and Kenny Butcher and everybody that played, all the national musicians that played on those records. It just needed one person just to feel comfortable, and then mm-hmm. it all kind of gelled.
Nice.
Wow.
Well, we got to take a quick break, but before we do, let me just mention that some of the other folks who are being inducted into the Hall of Fame. We've got Peter Frampton, Will Lee, great bass player, mm-hmm. been playing with the David Letterman Band for a long time, Randy Bachman. Neil Young, and a whole bunch of special guests.
Neil's like, coming in. Now, Neil is coming in to induct Ben Keith.
Right.
Nice. He's a steel guitar player.
Ben producer. Played on, producer, right? Did Jules 15 million selling album. And,
yeah.
And played on, first song he ever played on was I Fall to Pieces in the studio. And,
yeah, that's pretty
And
heavy.
All of Neil Young's big records.
Great. And a whole bunch of special
Barbara
guests.
Mandrell.
Like, Barbara Mandrell. Like ZZ Top's Billy Gibbons, Steve Warner, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Dwayne Eddy, a whole bunch of great people. Go to musicianshalloffame.com for more details and go see the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with these guys here on the Music Row Show. All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That, of course, is Elvira, and we've got Jimmy Capps here, brand new inductee into the Musicians Hall of Fame. He played on the recording of that song.
Yeah, boy, that acoustic guitar really stands out.
It does. It does. If they would just stop with the singing,
guitar.
We could hear it better, you know? And we're also here with Joe Chambers, who's the founder and director of the Musicians Hall of Fame. Now, Jimmy, you were at one point, you were doing something like 520 or so sessions a year, is what I read on your website.
Really?
You were doing an amazing. I was like, how did you pull that off and still have time to play the Opry and do other gigs?
Ooh, I didn't know it was that many.
Wow. Okay. So you just kept your head down and kept going.
I guess. I didn't realize it was that many. Where'd you get that information?
JimmyCapps.com.
Ooh.
Yes.
We should send check it out. JimmyCapps.com quickly before that information changes.
Before it vanishes.
520. I meant 52.
Oh, it'll be down to 300.
Well, let's talk about that. What is? Can you describe your first recording session? I mean,
I can.
Let's hear about it.
What are you familiar with a guitar player named Hank Garland?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, the Lubin brothers scheduled a session. Ken Nelson was producing for Capitol. And we did it at the Quonset Hut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Well, I walk in, and we had, back then, artists would rehearse with their traveling musicians, you know.
Okay.
We'd have like a roadmap laid out, mm-hmm. how they wanted to do it, you know. So we would go in. Well, I walk in, and the best I remember, Junior Husky was on bass. Willie Ackerman, I think, was on drums. And Floyd Kramer was on piano.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. And Hank Garland, they decided they were going to use two electric guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, I'm sitting right next to Hank Garland.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh, my gosh.
And he treated me like I was an equal. I mean, Hank Garland had been... He had already been on, you know, several hundred hits, you know, and was a legend already, you know, and he mm-hmm. was only in his early 30s, mm-hmm. I'd say. But he treated me like an equal, and we played some little twin parts together, and the Lubins were trying to go pop.
Oh, really?
They cut a song called The Stagger. And it was supposed to be a dance.
Like a dance?
Like a dance song. And you're talking about one of the greatest country duets in the world, trying to do a dance song, you know.
They wanted to get famous before they died.
Yeah, that was it.
I got to hear that.
Well, it's a pretty doggone good record, but it didn't do anything. But Hank Garland and I played some little harmony parts on it, and he was just a true gentleman player and made me feel like a king, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. But the other three songs on the session were typical Lubin Brothers songs, mm-hmm. you know, and those are the ones that lived on. The Stagger.
Right.
dwindled away real quick.
It's got to be on YouTube somewhere. I want to hear this song.
It is. Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
It's in the Bear Family album for sure.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, maybe we should go ahead and take another just quick break here real quick, but we're going to look that up during the break, I think, and see what that sounds like. But we're coming back with a whole lot more of brand new inductee to the Hall of Fame, Jimmy Capps and Joe Chambers here on the Music Row Show. Back to the Music Row Show. That's a tune called 7th and Union.
I've been there.
The album 7th and Union by our guest here this hour, Jimmy Capps, brand new inductee into the Musicians Hall of Fame. And actually, we were just talking during the break. This is actually the first year there's going to be some female musicians inducted into the Hall of Fame, with Barbara Mandrell being the first.
Barbara will be the very first. And Barbara is already a member of the Steel Guitar Hall of Fame.
Right. Yeah.
And... like you said, this is her musicianship is what got her,
right,
and to where she is, and really, I was talking to her the other day. 40 million people plus saw her show mm-hmm. with the sisters every week. Can
right.
you imagine what
yeah.
that must have been like? Not being able to go out and get a hamburger, you know, without somebody gawking at you.
We know exactly what that happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mainly because you should see us eat, actually. It's not pretty.
Yeah. And then one of the early, like Jimmy Capps said, trailblazers here in Nashville for women in the music, as musicians go, was Velma Smith. And Velma played with Chet and Eddie Arnold and... played on so many hit records, and it was on the road. And just, I mean, you have to think about being back in the 50s and being a lady and not only being in the studio, but then going on the road.
Yeah.
One of the guys at the museum the other day was doing an interview with Velma that we're going to air at the award show.
Right, right.
And she said, she got treated. it right at first you might have got a weird look, but after she played, everything was all smooth.
That's all they needed to know right there.
And then Corky O'Dell, mm-hmm. Corky was married to another really well-known session musician out in L.A., so it's Corky Casey O'Dell, and Al Casey was one of the...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of the L.A.
The Wrecking Crew?
What is now known as the Wrecking Crew musicians, and actually was really tight with Duane Eddy, and actually the connection there, too, is that Corky played on most all of Duane's big rock instrumental records, like 40 Miles of Bad Roads. She played rhythm guitar on, and Forrest Gump, which most everybody these days knows from, Rubble Rouser on Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which was, there's a great story, if you got a second. Duane was in the theater in Franklin, took his grandson, do you know this?
I don't know the
and
story.
He was at the movie, he was watching the movie, he and Dee, his wife, and his grandson, and the part comes up where it says, "Run, Forrest, run," and he's running, and the brace breaks off his leg as the guys are chasing him down with a truck, and then the Rebel Rouser comes in, and Duane's grandson goes, "Papa, that's you. He goes, "Yeah, that is me." He had no idea that he was in the movie. So the rest of the movie, he had to go back and see it again because he was like, was that me, or were they copying me? Was that my record? Ended up being Duane's biggest selling record, over, I don't know, 13 million sales or more, or 18. I don't know. It was crazy.
Because they put it on the soundtrack.
Because it was on the soundtrack. Yeah. And, I'd like to go to a movie and have that happen.
Yeah, no, and have that be a surprise. I mean, how awesome is that? Wow.
But anyway, Corky played on all those records, and so Duane's going to come and induct her at the show and play. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
That's great. So, again, it's the musicianshalloffame.com. You can buy tickets. This is on the 28th, the induction in the concert.
Tuesday night. What else you got to do on Tuesday night?
Exactly.
Well, they'll be recovering from the Whippoorwill show, so they'll be just ready to go and hear some real
music. They'll be and go listen. Tickets, if you go in a group of 10 or more, you can get 40% off the tickets through Ticketmaster.
If you go through Ticketmaster and order 10 or more tickets, yeah, you can get a huge discount.
Okay, that is a big Sweet. Discount. You guys, congratulations. Jimmy, congratulations to you. I've only asked this to a few people in the past 7 years of doing this show, but every now and then, truly, you've been part of generations of the soundtracks of their lives. And I mean, does that ever strike you as holy cow, or is it just... You just move on and don't even let yourself think about it.
No. I have to pinch myself every once in a while because I have been blessed for some reason or another and to have gone through all those changes in the music business, and somehow I've hung in there, but it's been fun. Hope, and I'm not done yet, as Charlie McCoy says. but I hope I'm not done yet, It's pretty amazing to me that all that has gone by, but I've seen it go from no drums on the Opry to a full set, and I've seen it go from no horns on the Opry to now people bring horns.
Was that a rule at the time? You couldn't bring horns?
I don't know if it was a rule or not, but They wanted Duane Eddy, since we were just talking about him, they wanted him to do a spot on the Opry years ago when I don't think it was Rebel Rouser, but maybe it was, is it 40 Miles of...
Mm-hmm, 40 Miles from Bad Road?
Maybe it was that, but anyhow, or it might have been another song, but anyhow, a main part on it was saxophone. And they would not let him use sax.
Oh, no.
Man. Rebel Rouser.
It was
Rebel Rouser. Well, thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out with us. MusiciansHalloFame.com, JimmyCaps.com. Go check that out. And then stick around for the second half of the show with hit songwriter Jeff Cohen here on the Music Row Show.
Thank you, guys. Right on.